The Gustavus City Council General Meeting for August 14, 2023. And we're fortunate to have Karen Platt filling in at the clerk position again for us. And so, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis? I don't see Tanya online either, so. No. Okay, we've got Councilmember Koviac?
Here.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
And Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Okay, we have six members present and a roll quorum exists.
Okay, thank you. As we start the meeting, I remind people on anybody that's online with their phone to keep their phone on mute, and if you can keep your video off, that'll help preserve our bandwidth and make this all work a little better. The meeting's being recorded and posted to the website. The packet will be projected thanks to the assistance of our vice mayor. And it's also will be available online on the Gustavus website, Gustavus City website. So I'd like to begin then with our vision statement read to us by Council Member Shelley Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you, Councilmember Owens. We move on to approval of minutes for the July 17, 2023 general meeting. We have a motion from Councilmember Brian Taylor.
I move to approve by unanimous consent the July 17th, 2023 general meeting minutes.
Hey, do we have a second, please?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Taylor seconded by Vice Mayor Bishop to approve the July 17, 2023 general meeting minutes. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? I don't have any members here of the public in the room, and I don't see any hands coming up online. So do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing none, are there any objections to approving the minutes by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing no objections, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. Mayor's request for agenda changes, and we do have an agenda change in that item 14. We had provisionally put on an executive session with the city attorney, but the city attorney says the material for that session is still not available. So he has asked that we postpone that for a later date, so we may be able to do it next month. And so we will remove item 14, executive session, from the agenda. Do any other council members wish to reorder anything or make any other changes to the agenda? Okay, seeing none, then the agenda is set as posted with that change of item 14 deleted. We move on to staff reports. And the first one is from the Gustavus Visitors Association. We have Leah Oaken here to speak with us. Good evening, Leah. Welcome. Get your mic turned on there. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the City Council, can you hear me?
I believe we can.
Okay. So I submitted the report. So I guess I'll just give a little overview of the highlights and then you can ask me questions on the report. So the highlights, you may have noticed the move of the visitor kiosk sign, the welcome sign that's was in front of the fuel tanks is now on the opposite side of the road. So that's very exciting. The next exciting thing that'll happen with that is changing the content of that, which is proving to be time consuming, as I'm sure you all realize that things which you hope to happen quickly sometimes take a long time, particularly when you're asking everybody's opinion and and you want to please everybody. So that makes the whole process of upgrading the content a little more time consuming. So I'm hoping to have that content upgraded by next spring. So what it'll be is more Gustavus based information. So it'll have an image of the Fairweather Range that will have the mountains and the distance to the mountains from that viewpoint. It'll have information about the lands, the Tlingit history. It'll have homesteader history. It'll have the name of Gustavus information. So that type of thing will be in there. There's lots of people that are weighing in. I've got Wayne Howell. I've got Mary Beth Moss. I'm going to have Jim Moskoviak. Who else? There's lots of people that are involved in upgrading the content. So that'll happen by next spring, hopefully. The other big thing that's highlight was that we had the film crew come over from Frostline Studios. Richard Cooper and his son came over and spent 4 days to capture content to make a marketing short film, but more over, he's going to also make some what we call drip films. So, you know, 40 second to a minute films, because we realize that humanity has become very short with their attention span, and anything too drawn out, people don't pay attention to. So we want lots of short films. So it'll be specific to, you know, whether it be 40 seconds on services of Gustavus, or 40 seconds on homesteaders of Gustavus, or 40 seconds of wildlife in Gustavus, 40 seconds on fauna and flora, you know, that type of thing. So when people you can also use them for a variety of applications as well. So if Outside Magazine is doing a specific magazine article on bird migrations, we could submit 40 seconds worth of digital image of migrating birds of Gustavus, for example. But also it'll be on our websites. And if somebody has a particular interest, it's like a menu. They don't have to watch an entire film. They can pick the particular films of interest that are pertinent to their specific goals or interests. So when Richard came over, he captured mainly personalities. He conducted, I think there were 12 interviews with a pretty good cross-section, a pretty good, I'd say, representation of Gustavus characters. And we feel that captivating the characters of an area really captures people's interest. You know, if you're watching a film about life below in Alaska and you see a reindeer and a a bear, well, that's great. But what people, what really captures people is the people that live in that 40 below area with the bears and the reindeer. You know, what are the personalities of the people that live in this region? So he captured interviews with a very varied characters of Gustavus that will be put into these 40-second drip films and these and the short film. What he didn't capture is wildlife images, because you have to be at the right place at the right time for a lot of those that footage. So we're going to be conducting over this next over the winter a competition to try and encourage people of Gustavus, past visitors, the organizations that we have that operate here, operators, to submit or to give us video footage of wildlife that they've captured, that we can then contribute to the content for these films. So that'll be coming up. And this is going to be an ongoing project. We obviously have a small budget to work with. You know, making films costs a lot of money. So the content that he's gathered, you know, he's going to make maybe three or four shorts, but over a period of time, over years, hopefully, you know, the next budget round, we can give him a little bit more money and he can maybe make a second or third or, you know, some more of these short films, adding on to the menu items of films that we've got. So those were the big ticket items. The film was the big ticket item, and the move was just move of the kiosk was just an exciting item. We're continuing on with our usual Alaska Travel Industry Association, Alaska magazine, the milepost, you know, all of our usual marketing we are continuing on with. We're continuing with our website content. We're looking at including blogs coming up. We're constantly adding listings to our website and monitoring the clicks that we get and how many basically looking at how many people click onto the site and where they navigate to and how long they spend there, so that we can adjust our algorithms and our content or our websites to improve. So that's what we've been up to for the most part. I'm happy to take questions.
Do any council members have any questions for Leah? Councilmember Taylor.
I feel like I ought to know this, but when did the move of the sign finish?
When did they move it?
Yeah, when did they finish moving it across? I haven't seen that yet.
Well, they did it in a day. Well, they did the Do you have it? Okay.
I happen to have it in my report.
So when was it? It was probably about 3 weeks ago, something like that. Have you got the date written there?
I didn't write it down.
3 weeks ago?
I think it was two
recently.
Weeks
I think you were paddling.
It hasn't been pretty.
Yeah.
Beautiful setup.
And I've noticed there's been an increase of people or increased number of people looking at the sign. I've noticed every drive. I walk my dogs three times a day out there, and I've been noticing people standing in front of it looking at the sign, where I hadn't noticed people looking at it on the other side of the street. Not that the content has changed, but there's an interest that's changed.
Well, it certainly has a nice setting now, and the concrete pad underneath it makes for a much cleaner look to the whole installation. And I think with your new information on it, it's going to be a real hit, a real attractive feature to people coming off the ferry. They can see it as they drive down the road on the left. I think we may trim some branches off the tree there at the that blocked the view a little bit from the first tree on the corner of that pullout there would increase the visibility from even farther away, but we can do that. But it looks great. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
Cassie. I just wanted to mention we got a call from somebody who usually calls needing us to do something else. And they complimented profusely the new sign and where it was and thought it was a wonderful spot. It should have been done a long time ago. And could we possibly get a picnic table to put next to it? So I'm just putting that out there that we got a lot of compliments.
Good. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? She has a very detailed report, and thank you for that. So please read through it if you haven't yet. And you can look at all the graphs and everything.
So I do have a question. Yes. And then one of the big discussions that we've had in our various meetings has to do with the vehicles attempting to go on the beach and the signs. And during our work session, you mentioned something about the potential of having information about not having vehicles on the beach in the sign. And I just want to know if you were, that got passed on to you, because we did mention that in our work session.
Yes, that that has been mentioned to me as a possibility of putting the no vehicles and the camping, no camping signs in that information kiosk. It's a small space, so we'll look to see how much space, you know, we have for the things which we've already got intended to use. It would be a board decision, so I'll throw it out to the board as well. But we're, you know, whatever information is useful information. The focus for that is for visitor information. But, you know, if there's space allows, and it seems like the right thing to do, and it's, and enough people want to see that information in there, and the board agrees, then we'll put that information in there.
We can work with you, Leah, on what information from the city might be a fit for you if you've got room. So we look forward to working on that as you develop the display further in the coming months. Anything else for Leah? Hey, thank you very much. And our next report is from the Disposal and Recycling Center, the quarterly report from our new manager operator, Ian Barrier. Ian, welcome.
Thanks, Mike. This is my first time reporting, so just bear with me. And I wasn't necessarily prepared. I was preoccupied. So
it's a nice written report, though. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I was just going to briefly cover it. So labor, I've had two people helping me this summer, Sydney Glassman and Paul Dubay. They've been both very helpful. Sydney was hired earlier and very grateful to have her along, because she's been outstanding when it comes to just learning all about how we do things at the DRC and the use of all the equipment, including the Bobcats, which is really impressive, you know, because she's young, and that's been very nice. And of course, Paul's been working there for a few years in the past, and he's been very helpful as well. And we still have Sven on the labor pool as well, but he's back to his usual summer job at the Siebel, so he may or may not be coming back this fall. I'm not too sure. Paul's gonna get back to his job at the school at the end of this month, so be losing him, which should be okay because things have started to slow down, thankfully. Other than that, another good thing I wanted to cover was the mound, which is a continual thing. I've been working really hard to clear everything out from there, which includes just recycling that's been stockpiled on there and miscellaneous bulky items and oddball things, and getting them into our inflow storage area where we can hopefully process them and get them shipped out sooner than later, and also make room for more bale fill, because as some of you may know, we're not sure how much taller we want the mound to be. And if we run out of room up there, it'll be an emergency, which brings on to one of the other things I mentioned in my report, is I want to start looking into what it's going to take to expand the landfill, because that's going to have to happen in the next couple of years, and it's very important. And the town has grown too, so, and I believe it's going to continue to grow. Another thing is the equipment, which a couple months ago, our yellow GPI baler went down, which is the main baler that we use for trash. So we've been using our Cramalot in the back for everything for the last couple months, and it's been working out quite well. It's a pretty well-used baler, so it kind of makes me a little nervous for it to see extra use. And it's in need of quite a bit of work. And hopefully when things slow down, I've actually been practicing stick welding, but I would like to reinforce the outside of it and try to fix some of the things on there. Try to just keep it intact for as long as possible. So, and everything else has been working great. No other problems with our equipment. And yeah, when it comes down to it, that's about it for now. I don't know if anybody has any questions. I'm happy to answer them.
Any questions? Shelley?
Just want to thank you. I appreciate the fact that you're sort of carrying forward Paul's, very thorough written report. I just wanted to let you know I appreciate that.
Thank you, Shelley.
Appreciate it a lot. So.
I'll echo that. We're lucky to have you in the position, and you've hit the ground running. You were already running, of course, and so you've kept up to speed with the transition. And thank you very much for that. I have one question that just has I've been wondering about, okay. And it may be. It may actually take some research for you to answer it, and that's whether you. There's any change in the market for plastics that we used to recycle essentially all the plastics, but several years ago it became very difficult to find anybody to take them, even with us paying them to do so. And I'm wondering if that market has changed any, and if we will get to some point maybe where we can recycle other types of plastic that now are going into the landfill and taking up space.
I've actually done quite a bit of research on that sort of a thing, and well, more about actually the differences in the types of plastics and why we recycle certain types of number ones and not others. And I found a little bit of information, but when it comes to the market, I haven't actually looked into that so much. And the reason I was looking into these other things is because there actually has been a lot of small companies and startups taking that waste plastic and trying to turn them into building products. But it's something I can investigate further.
It'd be interesting to hear more about that in future reports as you can find out more information.
Sounds good. Okay. I could even get you something in the near future.
Any other?
Yeah, so I'd be curious as to what you're thinking in terms of the expansion of the existing space and what you envision it to look like as in terms of the expansion.
Well, for starters, I would use our, there's already partial plans for expanding the landfill. There's essentially different areas marked out that have a certain amount of capacity, and we'll probably be expanded into the closest smaller areas first. I don't have a real solid answer beyond that, but so, we do have maps available of the areas.
So just, are you thinking it would be inside the current fence or outside the current fence?
It would be expanding it outwards. I mean, the only way we could utilize what's already in the fenced area would be to go up. But we don't want to go up too much. It would be much better to have a gentle mound rather than a pyramid. And it's partial regulations as well.
And so whose land is it that if when you expand, whose?
It's already the DRC's land. They have lots of land available for who knows how many years beyond our lifetimes.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for me? Oh, Jim Muscoviak.
Yeah, I just want to express my appreciation for the work Ian's done. It's a pleasure to go over there and see him at work. You know, he's smart, he's hardworking, and he's not afraid to get his hands dirty. And that's a real good combination. Thanks, Ian.
You got the Gustavus can-do attitude, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ian. We appreciate your service at the landfill, and thank you for your first report.
You're welcome, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, that we'll move on to our city treasurer with a report on monthly financials, Treasurer Ben Sadler.
Thank you, Mike. And Jenny and I have in my files, we paid a company to come in and do an exploratory thing around the DRC. If you'd like that information, I have a whole file on the maps, how they projected we should expand out when we got ready to. So if you'd like that, I can email all that to you tomorrow. Yeah. Great. So as far as our monthly financials go, we're 1 month in to FY24, and so there isn't a whole lot to speak about, but surprisingly or not surprisingly, we've already received our payment in lieu of taxes, which was $153,000, which is 72% of our expected federal revenue for FY24. We also brought in $151,000, which kind of surprising to me, but we brought in $151,000 in sales tax just in July. So 25%, almost 26% of our expected sales tax. So right off the bat, FY24, we've hit the ground running. I assume that that's the way it is every year because how it falls in July in the middle of the summer tourist season. And so nothing strange there. We paid a couple of our bigger things that we pay each year, the GVA, we've issued them their check for $42,000 approximately. We paid all of our insurance was about $50,000, and everything else is just coming right along. So anybody have any questions about any of that?
Any questions for our treasurer?
I had a lot more to say, but I'm going to have to come back out for the whole consent agenda. So I'll just wait till then to give you guys all the good news.
You want to say something about the closeout of the last fiscal year, which is about to occur? I
think. Right. We are just about closed out. We have just a few bills left that we requisitioned money for in FY23 that we have not yet been billed for. Once that happens, I'll be sending off our FY23 to the accounting firm that we've hired to do the audit, and we'll get things going. But last year was so far so good.
Good. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Councilmember Taylor.
If I could, I'm just curious, looking over this, it's kind of fun to be, I can't believe I just said fun to be at the start of fiscal year, but to kind of see the budget start evolving as we get into things. And I'm presuming that the insurance payment that we see under building and expenses, that's an annual payment for all the building insurance. I'm guessing with how it's 120% in the first.
Yes. And so, like I said, it was like 48,000 plus, but it's broken out. If you go through, there's building insurance there. There is equipment insurance under equipment, general liability insurance, marine facilities insurance. So that kind of goes down workman's comp. They're all broken out into their own specific things. But in the end, it was 48,000, a little bit over that for the entire city. And then we will get each year, halfway through the fiscal year, the API will audit us on where we are now at that point. And we've always gotten money back. So you pay up front, and then if you're coming in under, then we end up getting a refund check. And from what I can tell, that happens every single year.
Okay, cool. Awesome. That's great to know. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Any other questions for our treasurer? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Ben. That takes us on to our report from our city administrator, Kathy Leary.
Yes, good evening. Well, some of this is a repeat from the work session, but we still are a little short-staffed here, but we have hired Liesl Barker, a contingent upon your approval tonight. She gets here the day after Labor Day. She won't be able to start full-time that week. She will be able to come in a little bit, but she will be available full-time once she gets her household set up, which will be about 8 or so days after she gets here. We think she's going to be a really good candidate. So we hope for your approval tonight for her hire. For the septage update, Trevor Richards from Juno Septic has made more trips since the last report, but we're awaiting his July report to see how many. John Barry's working with Trevor on using our formatting for the reporting. The bad news is the truck took a dive when it was here and wound up off of Gustavus Road in Fleek's, over the embankment right near Fleek's place. Luckily, it was empty. And luckily, none of the tanker was damaged. What was damaged was the cab. And luckily, he wasn't hurt. It just, I don't know, road conditions. He said he was distracted, so I don't know what was going on. But anyway, they managed to get out there with the telescoping forklift and the loader, and DOT was out there flagging people. I mean, it was quite a scene. So consequently, he was able to get it back on the ferry along with the 4,500-gallon truck, which was full. But that one, he just got on the ferry to get it back. So right now, they're going to search for a cab to reposition on the truck. So far, there's no other damage that they found on the truck, and they've pressured up the tank to make sure it's still all intact, and it is. So he won't be coming out except to take the materials out of the tank, but both of them are about 2/3 to 3/4 full. So focusing on emptying those for now is what's going to happen. And then hopefully he'll be back in a month or so with emptying more households. And he's already done over 40. So according to him, we're still waiting on some of the data from the reports, but... spent some time doing additional research and gathering information requested by our attorney, and I sent him other various correspondence on this issue and requested information from him about surveillance cameras. Worked with the NPS, thank you, to see about the availability of specific hazmat equipment. I'm waiting to hear from Jesse Kill's office. The PFAS bill has not been signed yet. We thought it was, but it has not been signed by the governor yet. So until it is signed by the governor, we won't know about DOT's annual reclamation of 40 gallons of PFAS contaminated water or material. So we continue to work on that. I also spoke with the new safety officer at the NPS. And once he gets his bearings, we are going to meet to see about coordinating safety trainings, mostly with respect to sort of industrial safety and other certifications much needed by our DRC workers, our responders. I don't know what the folks out there need, but I guess he's looking at where everybody is with their certifications. So we're going to get together, hopefully, so we can coordinate the trainings to bring the costs down and hopefully have them all here. So I'm still working on the civil work permit language with a little bit of disagreement with the stipulations. Still need a little further research on that. Still going to the weekly office hours meetings, looking at resource sharing of cybersecurity. They have grants out there where this organization will actually come and look at what your whole setup is, your server, your files, just kind of do like threat assessments. And if you, because we have managed services, they would have to look at their operations too. So I don't know how soon or if that's going to happen, but it's something that we might consider looking at, especially since things have gotten a lot squirrelier lately with our systems, it seems like. And again, thank you, Shelley, for taking on the election stuff to assist with those processes. It's a lot of work, but thank you. And the clerk will get here just in time to get trained by the Division of Elections so she can take that over before the absentee voting starts happening. Continued to work on incident reports to the state troopers about vandalism, and ADOT on a request for a resolution in support of airport upgrades. Well, we did, you're hopefully passing that tonight. And we just got notice about the library construction project today. The footings have been poured. They're waiting to be cured for a week. And apparently he has all the materials here. And as soon as he gets the footings, he can begin. The schedule is for it to be complete by the end of September. Hopefully that will be the date. It'll be complete within a couple of weeks of the beginning of the project. Been researching the originations of the port fee to help respond to Carla Hart's request regarding the fee and why the staff continues to put forward that the fee was originated by the city. We provided her with information. We've received information from the director of Alaska Marine Highways. And I talked to a procurement officer today who wanted other information from us. And I told him about that problem. And he said he thinks that they should just be able to update the website with the extra explanation of the fee on the website. So it's there. And then if they want to reconsider it down the road, however they have to do that, that's something to happen down the road. But at least there would be a caveat in there that it's not a fee imposed by the city, which seems to confuse a lot of folks. So, we've had a lot of just general correspondence assisting, you know, issues with citizens and other organizations, including several state agencies. So we've been very busy this month. and I don't know if you have any other questions.
Before we do that, Madam Clerk, maybe you've noticed that Councilmember Lewis is online now. Yeah, I was just noticed it, so we'll make sure that she's on the listed on as present. And do any council members have any questions for our city administrator?
I do.
Councilmember Driscoll.
So I remember at one point you said you were talking with the superintendent about things to coordinate between the school and the city. Has there been any more since you last reported on it?
No, not yet. I mean, they're right at the beginning of their school year, and I'm sure they're scrambling to get their schools open at this point. He was not completely forthcoming. He didn't have enough handle on his own budget at the time to give us information about some of the things that you mean for the preschool. Yeah. He didn't have enough information at the time to give us what we needed to know about what their request might be for that. And he was supposed to be getting back to us to provide us with that information. So
okay.
That's what all I have all right. on that. Yeah.
Any other questions from council members for city administrator? Okay, thank you, Kathy, for the report and for all the hard work all month. She's been very busy, I can tell you. Okay, we move on then to public comment on non-agenda items. This public comment period is for non-agenda items only. It's not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If a member of the public would like to make a comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants item and then raise the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. Excuse me. State your full name when speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. And of course, be respectful in your comments and language. We'll have another opportunity at the end of the meeting if something comes to mind and you'd like to comment at that point too. So I will open it now for any public comment. And I do have a written comment that to read, but I'll let anybody who is wishing to speak up first identify themselves. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up on my screen. But we did have a request from Colleen Stansberry and Bruce Smith to read their public comment into the record or for their for the council's thoughts. And it's a letter letter dated August 13th, 2023. Dear Mr. Mayor and council members, I write to offer our opinions regarding the proposed installation of surveillance cameras at the beach restrooms, beach parking lots, and Salmon River Boat Harbor. Having been residents of 40 plus years, it is sad indeed that the combined events of this summer have brought us to the point where we even need to consider this action. The world is changing. We are not exempt from that change. There has always been minor vandalism and theft. It's just the nature of some people. Dumping of raw sewage isn't even an unknown issue. Before most had indoor plumbing, some used porta potties and the contents were dumped in the landfill, river, and ditches throughout the town. We feel that with our population growing, these occurrences will not only continue but become more frequent. Some just don't understand the concept of personal responsibility that has allowed Gustavus to exist with minimal government and no law enforcement. Sadly, we don't believe that will improve in the coming years as we become a climate refuge for more people. Concerning the proposal of installing surveillance cameras, we see the need, perhaps seasonally, for such measures. However, we also feel there are important issues to be addressed and questions to be answered preceding cameras. In fact, the installation of cameras may be the easy part. Some of the issues we see are necessary ordinances in place to clearly identify infractions revealed by the surveillance? For example, the dumping of buckets of raw sewage into the beach restrooms. Is the city ready and willing to enforce violations revealed by the surveillance? I have witnessed many violations of marine facilities ordinance with no follow-up enforcement. The city must commit to enforcing ordinance if we are going to deter unwanted behavior. Who will enforce infractions? Who will review surveillance video? Who will be responsible for following up on fines or penalties? Enforcement of fish box tax comes to mind. How much money and other resources will be allocated for these activities? We also strongly believe that city surveillance should be rigorously debated by the council and ample time reviewed or allowed for public comment. This is a big step for our little community to undertake. We should not rush into any decisions in response to recent events. Thank you all for your time and service to this community. Colleen Stansberry, Bruce Smith. So thank you to Colleen and Bruce for those thoughts. And we'll make sure that every council member has a copy of that letter. And I'll give one more chance if any members of the public want to make a public comment on a non-agenda item. Please raise your hand if you're online. Okay, well, I'm not seeing any more, but we have another opportunity at the end of the evening. We have a lot of items on the consent agenda next. I think five items. And I'll list those items before we have a motion to approve it and give a brief explanation of what each of them are. The first is FY24-03 NCO, Introduction of Capital Project Funding to AMLIP Reserve. And this is scheduled for public hearing in September 18, 2023. And we have discussed this in the past and in our work sessions. And the what this is doing is just moving $300,000 that we have in a non-interest-bearing checking account into the AMLIP reserve account where it can make good interest. And we can get quite a bit of interest on $300,000. And so it's a good move. Now, so we're introducing that this month, posting it for public comment and hearing at the September meeting. The next is another introduction, FY24-04 NCO, introduction of AMLIP FY24 repair and replacement, or R&R. Public hearing is scheduled also for September 18, 2023. And this moves $16,545.73 per our budget that was approved for this fiscal year. It's an annual appropriation to our repair and replacement savings account for major infrastructure items. So routine thing that's also already been in the budget. So we're getting it done first thing in the fiscal year. The next one is another similar item. It's FY24-05 NCO, introduction of AMLIP gravel pit fund, scheduled also for public hearing next month, September 18, 2023. And this is to move the $6,000 that we budgeted in this operating budget into the gravel pit savings fund that we use for potential upgrades to the gravel pit operation or infrastructure costs there. And next item nine, in the consent agenda is to approve calculation of the endowment fund grant amount for the FY24 cycle. And we have that on the screen before us now. And we do this every year following the policy and procedure. And in fact, the calculation just fits right into the policy and procedure with the calculations shown in red. And so anybody wants to follow through that can look at it in the packet and see how it works out. Most years in recent years, we've had on the order of $40,000 to $42,000 that we've been able to make available for grants through the endowment fund. This year, though, the fund is challenged by the combination of somewhat limited growth in the capital markets. So the capital value of our funds were limited by the performance of the equity market primarily. And then that's also been offset by the higher than normal inflation that we've had over the last year. So it turned out that after inflation proofing the fund, we had we came up with a zero amount that would be made available this year just because we want to continue to inflation proof the fund. However, the procedure also provides for any funds that are unused from previous years that are available that have been returned from a grantee to be made available in future years. And as it turns out, we have $10,000 returned from the GPAC committee for PFAS work. And so with that return of that $10,000, we're able to make that available this year for endowment fund grants. So the bottom line is $10,000 available for this year. And you can look at the calculation in the packet for details again on how that happened. And then the last one is the great pleasure that we have of recommending and asking the council to approve the hiring of our city clerk applicant, Lisa Barker, who is moving to Gustavus from Delaware, and it will be arriving in September. The hiring committee, which consisted of the mayor, the city administrator, the treasurer, and council member Shelley Owen, were very pleased with the interview that we had with Liesl Barker, and were pleased to, as we reviewed in the work session, to recommend to the council that she be hired as our new city clerk starting in September when she arrives. So those are the items on the list. Do any members of the public wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? And if so, we would put it in new business. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands coming up. So do any council members wish to remove any of the consent agenda items and put them into new business? Okay, seeing none, with is there any objection to adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent?
I don't remember hearing a motion.
Oh, we need a motion. That's right. Sorry. Thank you, Madam Clerk. We do need a motion, and we had Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop to make a motion.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved by Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to adopt a consent agenda as presented. Are there any objections then to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, and thank you, Madam Clerk, for catching my skipped step there. Okay, well, hearing none, it is passed by unanimous consent, and we'll look forward to welcoming Liesl Barker next month. That takes us on to ordinance for public hearing, and we have one item, FY24-02 NCO capital project funding to AMLIP capital project current, introduced last month. And let me flip to that in my packet here. Okay, so this is the another one of our moves from checking into an AMLIP interest-bearing account, and per our discussions in work session and so forth, we are moving $243,936.91 from our checking account into the AMLIP capital improvement current account. And that is, so that raises, or that brings our budget in the current account up to $243,906.37. We need a motion, I believe, next. No, I'm sorry. I need to open this for public hearing. So it, the time is 7:57, And so I'll open this item for public comment or question or comment, actually. Do any members of the public wish to testify on this item? Okay, seeing none, the public hearing is closed at 7:58 p.m. And we'll bring it back to the council. And we have a motion on this from Council Member Janine Driscoll.
So I move that we move approve the ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of the city held accounts in fiscal year 2023 to move it from the AMFLA to move the money to the capital project account.
Thank you. I think we didn't script that for you. So.
I think you didn't.
I understood.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Okay, sounds like we have it's been moved by Councilmember Driscoll and seconded by Councilmember Moskoviac to approve FY24-02 NCO capital project funding to AMLIP capital project current as introduced July 17, 2023. Do any council members have any comments on this item? Councilmember Taylor.
I'll start this with an apology for having missed the work session, because this is probably something that would have been better clarified there. This may be more to refresh my understanding. This is, I guess we're clearly still leaving plenty in the checking account for us to cover all of our imminent capital needs, is what I'm gathering based on how much we're taking in, being the season that it is and the balance that we're leaving in there. That I'm just seeing this and noting that we haven't passed any policy on allowing for the more expeditious removal of funds from the AMLIP current account yet. That's
I would like to call on our treasurer to respond on that, please.
Yeah, so Brian, we have the 17 to 45% that we would ideally keep in our checking account after the capital projects, et cetera. This is the capital project money that we're moving back into AMLIP, and we're still up over that 45%. If we wanted to, we could actually move more money, but I wanted to be somewhat conservative, this being the first time that we've taken this much money out of our account at one time. But I'm more than confident that we have more than enough money. If all of the capital projects that we currently have in the works were all completed right now, we could still pay for those and we would still have enough money in our checking account.
Perfect. That's what I had kind of envisioned, but wanted to make sure I was still following along. Thanks.
This is between now and September will be our richest time of the year. It's after September that we have to start thinking about what we're doing with our money, because we'll be making less than we're spending. At the moment, we're still making more than we're spending.
Okay, thank you. Any other council comments or even questions for our treasurer on this item? Okay, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Moskoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. we'll move on to new business now, and item 12, which is CY23-09, supporting the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Airport Fence Upgrade Project. And you remember we, from our work session, that we were asked by ADOT and PF to give them a supporting resolution that helps them score a little bit better on their grant applications for upgrading the fencing around the airport and fixing some of the gates and making them more efficient and safer and in compliance with federal regulations. So we'll begin with a motion, please, from Councilmember Muskoviac.
I move to adopt resolution CY23-09, supporting the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Airport Fence Upgrade Project.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Muskoviac and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to approve or to adopt resolution CY23-09, supporting the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Airport Fence Upgrade Project. And because it's a resolution, we need to read that. So I will read it. Resolution CY23-09, a resolution by the City of Gustavus supporting the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Airport Fence Upgrade Project. Whereas the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities owns, operates, and maintains the Gustavus Airport. And whereas the Gustavus Airport is very large with a large fence line and several access points. And whereas access points must be controlled and efficiently audited. And whereas gates and sections of fence are worn out and are beyond their service life. And whereas in addition to security, wildlife is also an issue with moose, bear, and other mammals. And whereas safe and efficient operation of the airport in accordance with all state of Alaska and federal regulations is essential to meeting the needs of the air traveling public in Gustavus, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of Gustavus, Alaska supports and encourages the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities project to upgrade airport fence gates at the Gustavus Airport to improve safety and efficiency of operation. So I'd like to open the opportunity for public comment. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this resolution? If so, please raise your hand online. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. And do any council members wish to comment on this item? Councilmember Lewis.
Thank you. And I want to apologize for being late. I lost track of time packing for another trip tomorrow. And thank you, Karen, for texting me. So I wasn't at the work session. Did you guys get a good idea of what the scope of this project is? Is it purely replacing and fixing up what is already there? Or are there any additional components that we might be concerned about, like say more lights or anything that's going to actually change the fence significantly?
Well, Kathy, do you want to respond?
Tanya, as far as I know, the scope of the project has to do with replacing the key lock systems, badging system with coded passage security. There won't be keys and such. And there's some areas where they felt that they no longer needed access through certain portions, and then through other portions, they'll be replacing some of the gates. It just seems to be a security gating project from what I've been able to determine. And I asked them if they spoke with the stakeholders at the airport and anybody who had hangars and anybody who might be impacted by that. And they assured me that they had, and Jeff also backed that up. So that's what I got from them.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we did have a list of the details on that, but it's essentially, yes, replacing closing a few gates that are no longer needed, plus the improvements to the keying system and so forth. So Okay, any other questions on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. We'll move on to City Council reports, and I'll start with my mayor's report, which now the packet had the letter in it from the city of Tenneke, and we didn't actually intend for that to go in that spot. And I didn't have a report drafted by the deadline this month, so we'll post it separately as we post the final minutes of this meeting and so forth. and we can send it out in the news, I guess. I wanted to start by thanking Lewis Sharman, the Tidelands Institute, and the Institute's current attendees for their much needed cleanup work on the Salmon River Park shelter. And I don't know if all of you've noticed, but that park shelter had been covered with moss and actually had small spruce trees growing on it, and didn't represent a well-maintained roof by any means. And we had branches hanging over from the trees next to it that were brushing on the shelter and causing more debris to fall on the roof. So they cleaned that all off and trimmed the branches and cleaned up the wooded area behind the shelter and did a very nice job. And I really appreciate that work from with its leadership from Lewis Sharman and the workers from the Tidelands Institute. We heard from Leah Olkin about the new kiosk relocation, and I put a picture in my report. It's a lovely installation, and with the new concrete pad, I think it looks a lot neater, and it's going to be a great has a great background for photos as visitors come to Gustavus. So I'd like to thank Gustavus Construction, the contractor that did this with concrete pad work from Glacier Bay Construction. And of course, thanks to Leah Olkin and the GVA for contracting this. The work was funded by the council's appropriation of additional bed tax revenues to the GBA to cover that. So, and watch for the new upgraded displays as the GBA generates them in the coming weeks and months. Next section deals with beach park developments. I think everybody's aware we had a few incursions early in July, actually. Vehicles driving across through the fireweed meadows that are behind the new sign location, and also some motorcycles driven through the entrance to the hardened beach path and causing erosion to that hardened trail surface. With the intent to make it clear that driving off-road is not to be done in the beach park. While most people should know that, we felt it was important to have enough signage there so that nobody could say they were unaware of the closure of the area. So we did put up some additional signs, and we extended the log barrier along the west side of Dock Road to the northern boundary of Beach Track A, where it joins the DeBoer property. And the DeBoer property is also closed to motor vehicles on both sides of the road, open to the public for hiking and all of that with their generosity. But They have asked that there be no motor vehicles out there, just as we have closed the beach park to them. At the suggestion of several residents and some council members, we installed a game camera on the west side for a couple of weeks to monitor vehicles. There were no incursions during that time. And so we have actually removed that camera. And we're hopeful that the new log barriers will be sufficient to prevent further damage to the meadows by off-road vehicles. And I want especially to thank Vince Schaefer for donating the logs to line the that we lined the edge of the right-of-way with, and Glacier Bay Construction for doing a neat job of placing them there. And we think as the vegetation grows up around them, they'll form an effective reminder of where the edge of the driving is, and will look just fine. There are divided views on signs and cameras at the beach park. The state troopers tell us that without photographic evidence of vandalism, they can't take enforcement action, even when the damage and thefts amount to third-class felonies. Some residents press the city to post signs and cameras if necessary to deter or catch vandals whose activities damage resources or cost the city repair and replacement costs. Others object to signs and cameras as an infringement. In late July, several signs and posts were stolen from the west side of Dock Road, and a camera monitoring the area outside the restrooms and trash bins on the bulk fuel facility pad also disappeared. The post by the Hardin Trail with the dog waste container on it was stolen too. Some residents who object to the signs and dog waste stations, however, have suggested, helpfully, I think, that we would have better cooperation with the vehicle closure area if the signs and dog waste supply were not replaced. And we discussed that in our work session last week, and I'm following the consensus of the council to give that suggestion a try. So for an indefinite trial period, we will not replace the stolen signs and dog waste supply station, except for one no vehicle symbol sign that I'd like to put back on the log at the entrance to the Hardin Trail to make it clear that motorcycles shouldn't be driven through there. Bicycles, of course, are okay, and the non-motorized bicycles are okay. And we won't reinstall cameras in the park or at the trash and restroom facility while we monitor cooperation. And work with the Visitors Association, as we discussed earlier, to maybe put a posting on the beach rules on the welcome sign kiosk if that's if it works out that there's sufficient space. So I'm hopeful that further signs and photo surveillance will not be needed, and we'll see how it goes. Related to this are the some issues with the dock and beach restrooms and trash containers. Our Marine Facilities Coordinator Larry Platt is very diligent in keeping restrooms clean and the trash and recycling picked up at the site on the bulk fuel pad. He does that about every day he's at work there. So it's discouraging when people misuse them and leave messes for him to clean up. Someone has occasionally dumped and spilled honey buckets in the restrooms, and people drop bags of household trash or boat trash in the trash or recycling bins. Reminders are now posted asking the public not to dump honey buckets in the restroom or to take their household or boat trash to the DRC. The trash and recycling bins are there for incidental beach use trash only. So I hope everybody will join us all in doing our part to keep Gustavus beautiful, clean, and sanitary by disposing of their waste appropriately. And I know Larry will appreciate it particularly. Just Friday, I received from Shannon and Wilson the laboratory analytical results for water monitoring at the city hall, the fire hall, the library, and the community garden done in July. That was the second round of monitoring for PFAS in those systems. Per the city's contract, they sampled raw water at the wells and treated water, treated tap water inside the facilities. No PFAS compounds were detected in this round at the library or the community garden. Results continue to detect some PFAS compounds in water wells at City Hall and Fire Hall, in the Fire Hall, but the levels are just barely above the detection limit and actually below the reporting limit. So they are therefore far below the current and the proposed stricter EPA standards for drinking water. The one of the reasons that I asked them to sample the tap water for comparison with the raw well water was if the raw well water was sufficiently high in PFAS, we could judge whether the carbon filtration on our water systems was being effective at reducing the PFAS compounds in the water, and also the reverse osmosis system. But the levels are so low that it's hard to make any judgment on that, with the exception that I've been very interested that although we have PFAS showing up in the tap at the city hall sink, the reverse osmosis tap never shows any PFAS. It's never detected, and so that suggests to me that it is possible that the reverse osmosis is the most effective treatment of. Is more effective than the charcoal treatment. And those are just the standard household charcoal filters that it's going through otherwise. So we'll continue to monitor and look at our results as we do our final sampling scheduled now for the fall. That final sampling gives us an idea of whether we have significant seasonal variability in PFAS in our groundwater as it's being picked up in the wells. So at least I'll be sending a report out to the staff this week that gives them those results, and I feel confident that that our water is suitably safe for drinking at our facilities and at the community garden. Our cul-de-sac turnaround projects have been proceeding in the last month. They've completed those projects on four roads with new cul-de-sac turnarounds constructed for Porcupine, Meadow Lane, and just today for finished up on Mary's Road. And they also improved the length of Glen's Ditch Road from same old road down to the end at the Nagoonberry Trail. And for that section, we had Glacier Bay Construction take out a vegetated berm, an old vegetated berm along the side of the road so that it would allow plows to push snow out there without running into the berm. And so we've smoothed out that road, added gravel to it, got rid of the roller coaster surface of it, so it should be much easier to maintain. As we've done these roads, we've made an effort to do everything that the road actually needs at the time, rather than only doing a halfway job on things. We've decided to just try to get everything done on them that they needed, and then while we're mobilized there, and it's been working out very well. We have one more to do still at Extra Tough. So thanks to Glacier Bay Construction for that great work. And then my last paragraph is to appeal for everyone to please respect neighborhoods when driving in Gustavus. Most of our gravel roads in Gustavus are narrow. They're sometimes dusty. They pass through residential neighborhoods and by visitors' facilities. People and pets are out in yards, and children may be playing or riding bikes in the road. Visitors from the lodge may be walking on the road. So let's all please be respectful and considerate of the properties and residents we pass, as we want others to do for us. We'd like people to drive slowly by our own places. So something to remember. Some roads, like the city maintained Glen's Ditch Road and the APNT maintained Hydro Road, are narrow and get extra traffic because they lead to popular hiking and recreational sites. So I ask people to please drive slowly and quietly, minimizing the effect on your passage. And kind of think of it as leave no trace driving. We have had requests from people on those two roads in particular to for slower driving. That's my report. Actually, there were a couple things that just came up too that I didn't type in the report that I wanted to mention. One is I had a call today from Jason Custer, the vice president of AP&T, to let me know that AP&T has filed their rate case that was due this month. Their rate case calls for an increase in revenue to AP&T of 24.68%. And that's due to inflation, which has been higher in the utility sector than in the economy in general. And they are also greatly affected by the increase in interest rates because they pay a lot of interest on investments, on money borrowed for their operations, including, say, the purchase of Falls Creek. They are filing for that rate case with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, RCA. In the interim, though, there will be a 15% increase as an interim increase in rates while the RCA considers their until the RCA approves their rate case. That's the bad news, I guess, the increase in price. But they are doing everything they can, I think, to meet other requests that we have and find ways to reduce the or keep the cost of power down here. They will, for the first time, be offering off-peak rates as an option. And there will be a nighttime, an option to either have the same rate day and night, or to have a slightly higher rate during the day and a much lower rate, presumably, at night. And the night off-peak period will be from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., if you are managing your usage and you are choosing this option, then you'd have a lower rate at that time. So, for example, if you're charging your electric car, that would be the time to, you would probably want to program your charger to go on after 7 p.m. and off by 7 a.m. So that's one thing that people here had been requesting as a way to help us make better use of our Falls Creek resource and maybe keep us off of diesel. By people shifting more of their use to low usage, I mean, more of their draw to lower use times. They have also proposed to move the Falls Creek Hydro and the transmission line from the hydro facility into a separate subsidiary. It'll be called the Gustavus Utility Services, or GUS. And the purpose of that is it's sort of accounting sleight of hand, but it improves the PCE, the amount of PCE that residents can get for their power because of details on what PCE can be charged, can be used to offset and what it can't. And so by doing this, they expect that our PCE will improve slightly, and enough they feel to make it worth their having to have a separate, a separate subsidiary with its own accounting and everything. Jason sent the whole rate case filing to me. We'll make it available to every council member. It's also on the APC website, and it'll be on the RCA website as well. So there are various ways you can look at it. It's a little bit nerdy, I think. It's a pretty detailed thing. It's a very difficult job accounting for all of their expenses and determining what falls into the rate base. They have a consultant that they use to do that for them. And it's not something that is necessarily easy for, it's not easy for anybody to do. But it's up to the RCA to evaluate whether they have done it fairly. The RCA is responsible for making sure that the public is getting a fair shake on this. So we'll anticipate that the RCA will do its job and treat both the ratepayers and the utility fairly. Then the other last item that has come to mind recently, this week with the sad events in Maui and also the flood over in Juneau, has frankly made me think a little bit harder about where I put my priorities. And we have a hazard mitigation plan that identifies both flooding from, increased flooding from higher precipitation due to climate change and also the possibility of wildfire in our community. We have worked a lot on the flooding, the flood control stuff, but there's still more for us to do. More ditches along Wilson Road, for example, and on same old road, but also especially the further cleaning of the Glen's ditch from Gustavus Road south to the Nagoonberry parking area. And I've asked DOT to once again to reconsider their view on whether they would be willing to clean that section of ditch. And I offered to Jeff Jarvis, the DOT manager here, that if they would clean the ditch, because they're better equipped to do that than we are, then we would address the undersized culverts. There's a culvert on the section line between Kimber's and Lori Ross's place that is really undersized. There are a couple other culverts down there, but we would do projects to replace those culverts and make sure that they're large enough to handle the flow. Jeff has agreed to pursue that again within DOT and give me some feedback on what they're willing to do. And I'm hoping we can make a deal with them on that. with regard to fire issues, it leads me to think we need to be reviewing whether we are adequately prepared for fire response, particularly wildfires. And indeed to look at the preparation of our fire department more generally. with climate change and drying conditions, the possibility of disasters is higher here. We depend on the fire department as our major response organization. And so I and the city administrator are thinking in terms of how to work with our fire chief to assess where we are and consider what steps we can do to strengthen the fire department, to increase the number of volunteers, and to increase their training for the kinds of events that could occur in the future. In other words, planning for tomorrow, and because tomorrow's likely to be different than the past. And so that's led me to think that I really need to spend more time on those hazard mitigation things than some of the other things. I mean, I enjoy doing things like the playground equipment and so forth, a project that's continuing, the library bike shelter and those things. But I think I need to focus more on hazard mitigation going forward. So those are my thoughts this month. Do any of you have comments or questions? Kelly?
Well, I guess it's probably no surprise that I'd like to talk about the surveillance camera fiasco and as it happened. We discussed this at length at the work session, so I'm not going to take it up again. I circulated a 2-page memo about it. My primary concerns was that it was unauthorized by ordinance or resolution. I do not believe that the mayor had the authority to act unilaterally. It was done without transparency. You say you talked with some folks, but it wasn't brought to the council. It was, and certainly not for public communication to get input from people. I suspect that there seem to be a number of people that want the cameras, but I'm primarily concerned about the process, plus the fact that since we are, one of our major duties is managing the budget and the finances. And as Colleen and Bruce, commented in their letter, that there are financial consequences to these kinds of decisions. So I think a mistake was made, and I think we probably won't be made without process again.
And thank you for your comment. Any other thoughts or responses on the mayor's report?
If I could get back to
sure.
Why didn't you bring it to the council?
This is the kind of thing that we can do administratively, in my view. And we wanted to we feel we can do it legally, perfectly legally.
Who is we?
Those of us in the administration, leadership mm-hmm. here. And I felt that it was the kind of thing that is administratively done everywhere. So I don't think that it was illegal by any means, but whether it was a good policy, a good decision is debatable. And obviously you see it differently than I did. However, I do agree that we, with your suggested direction, that if we take this up again, that we discuss it in the council and have an outright, an official policy. I'm fine with that. The part of the reason of not making it public in advance was we were concerned that cameras would just be, that somebody would just look for them and shoot them or something or tear them down. And that we would lose the opportunity to find who was doing some of these things. But we can do it the other way too. And I'm hopeful we don't actually ever need them. So I would actually, my preference would be not to have to even install them. We'll see how our current thing goes. And then if we decide that we want to, or that we may need to try cameras again, then we'll bring it to the council.
May want to give it some time to prepare ordinances, and of course the question is enforcement, that whole issue of enforcement. But I mean, unless you have something, you know, in a resolution, in ordinance, it's just, you know.
Mayor Taylor, would you like me to add this to the work session discussion for the next work session?
Sure.
Thank you.
We can do that. Yeah, I don't know whether we'll have enough experience with it, with our existing situation by then, but we sure do want to have another discussion. Be fine. Okay. Any other comments? Oh, Tanya, yes.
Oh, I can wait till the next work session. I just had some questions about what ordinances we do actually have about, you know, regarding trash in those trash bins and, you know, deposits in the toilet. So, but I think it'd be great to have a focused talk about it next work session.
Okay. Any others? City administrator.
Well, I don't think we've ever had to think that we needed to drill down sewage dumping in the vaulted toilets and throwing animal carcasses in the water. And even though we do have a provision for that in ordinance, and we do have a provision that we can cite people for that kind of bad behavior. And we do have city powers under regulatory enforcement for environmental services that says the city of Gustavus may establish and enforce local regulations for the protection of community environmental resources were not precluded or superseded by state or federal law. So raw sewage is a, you know, it's a biohazard. So there's that, especially with, you know, all the COVID and everything that we've had. We do have several sites in our marine policy that talk about other nuisances and personal conduct. You know, we've never had to put anything in ordinance about how we do the enforcement, just that we can. So if we feel like we have to drill it down to every single scenario, it's going to take some doing to do. In the meantime, we did this based on also that the troopers told us that according to state law, we can put cameras anywhere in any public facility we want to, as long as it's not inside of a bathroom. So that question was asked beforehand. And so predicated on that and not having any rules that say we can't do anything like that, that was one of the reasons why it was done. So anyway, I just wanted to just echo how that decision was arrived at, that and some other things that were being pretty egregious down there. So, and it happened again this week. And then just today, somebody went over to the landfill or to the new trash bins, somebody on a, not a four by a side by side, whatever, and went down there and dumped a whole bag of garbage in the garbage, despite the signage that we have down there. So you can hope everybody's going to do the best, but they're proving us wrong. Anyway, yes, that's it.
Well, let's plan to just, let's see how things go this month and bring it up again at the work session. So. Would be nice if people would just be more thoughtful and comply with the expectations so that we don't have to identify who they are. And a lot of members of the public are saying they think, you know, the best, they, rather than having a policeman here, they thought we had a camera and identified somebody, they could be shamed. And that would be better, that would be sort of in the more Gustavus tradition. Look forward to ideas that you all have and set the policy accordingly. Okay. Any other questions? Now we can go on to, there is a section following this on, well, actually I should ask if anybody is working on a project that they want to do a report on for the city. Jim Muscoviak.
Yeah, we submitted a while back our Safe Streets and Roads for All application, and we got a note that said that the application had some faults, and they seemed to be fairly simple, and Kathy was helping me, and we're working through that, and we'll hopefully get it all resolved here in the next day or so and be back on the road. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Anybody else with anything to report? Okay. The next section is City Council questions and comments. This is for more general things. Does anybody have a question or comment that didn't say report, wasn't related to my report or something? Anybody ideas or anything you want to talk about? Okay, I'm not seeing anything. So that brings us to our last opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Do any members of the public, that'd be somebody online, I guess, have anything to bring up to the council that's wasn't on our agenda? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up. So that brings us to the end of our agenda, and we'll call it adjournment at 8:43 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for participating, and we'll see you next month at the work session. Good night.